All right, welcome to another episode of the Lost Arguments podcast. My name is Cyrus. I will be your host, and I am joined by the recently returned to Arcasia and Lost Ark, Kioma. Kioma, how are you doing today, man?
I am doing pretty good. Excited. There's a lot to talk about today.
There is a lot to talk about today, but first, you're back playing again. The clown raid showed up, and have decided to come back a bit. What's it been like getting back into the game?
A lot of dailies. There's a lot of rest bonus.
Oh yeah.
I am very surprised at how bad the economy is. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
We'll definitely talk about that.
Rough. But it's been a fun time. I got a lot of characters in 14-15 now. Because of the buff, which we'll talk about. So it's been pretty fun. But yeah, overall pretty good. It was a fun time, and the clown is a fun time.
Good. Yeah. Well, let's right before we get into clown, because first I want to talk about the September patch, and then we'll get into the October patch, November patch, December patch. We have a whole roadmap here that just came out yesterday, so tons of stuff to talk about. The first thing I'm going to do right now is I'm going to toot my own horn. I got to do it. I have been on the Vulton Inferno grind the last little bit, and I finally received my Demon's Roar title. Pretty exciting. I got the clear two or three weeks ago, and then I've been doing the deathless runs, and I finally got that, so that was pretty exciting. Wanted to talk about Hell Mode a little bit, and then, like I said, we'll get into the roadmap. For those who haven't tried Hell Mode yet, and you might be included in that, I highly, highly recommend checking out Inferno Mode. I think there's a couple reasons why specifically, and I think the first thing is a lot of times when you go into the raids in Lost Ark, because you have the sidereals, because you have time stop potions, because you have sleep bombs, destruction grenades, like whatever it is, you have a whole bunch of tools at your disposal to kind of skip mechanics or simplify mechanics. I mean, everyone knows, obviously, Vulton, the first gate, the way cheese, as it's known, to get around the orbs. You don't have to do the orb mechanic. You just hit way and then boom, done. There's a few instances of that throughout some of the raids in Lost Ark, and there are many cases where a big mechanic comes and you use time stop potions. You skip the mechanic entirely by avoiding all damage for 3 seconds with a time stop potion.
And like then, this gate 3.
Exactly. Yes, exactly. And then
kill the worm.
And then Hell Mode. Yeah, exactly. And then Hell Mode comes along, and you can't really cheese anything anymore. It really requires you to completely learn the mechanics of the raid, understand all of the attacks that are coming, understand all of the telegraphs for the attacks, learn where the safe spots are, learn how to do the mechanics properly, and then even the sidereals become mandatory for just like pushing damage in different spots, which is kind of fun. For example, in Gate 1 of Vulton, when the wolf spawns the second wolf and you have two wolves on the board at the same time, in Hell Mode, it's necessary to line up the wolves so that when Thyrain attacks, he actually hits both of the wolves at the same time, dealing double damage, which is pretty necessary in order to beat the clock on that fight when you're first learning it. So because you have to do that too, then you can't use Way to skip the orb mechanic, requiring you do the orb mechanic. Perfect example, in Gate 2, you can't use Way to skip the big hammer attack that Vulton does at the beginning. You actually have to collect the orbs on the sides, the eight orbs. Everybody has to collect one. You have to learn the tell when he's going to do the big attack. And it forces you to properly do all of the mechanics of the fights instead of skipping some of the mechanics. It's super fun. It's super punishing. Communication is super important. I mean, you've played, Kioma, you've played all of the super, super hard Final Fantasy 14 content, and I imagine it's a similar thing there where you really have to rely on communication and the mastery of the fights.
That is exactly right. There's a lot of mechanics. If one person that fails, the whole route wipes, just like in this game.
Yeah.
Even more than this game, actually. But I found that, certain fights in this game have one person dies, it just wiped away, like Clown, obviously.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure the Vulton ones. That's why there's a death. I mean, it's not technically necessary to be a deathless run because there's like the Deathless Titan Vulton title you got,
right?
Which is great, but you can still die and still clear it.
It's possible to clear it if somebody dies, but I will say again, kind of from doing it, unless you have a group of seven people who have who are totally mastered like every single piece of the encounter and are playing the absolute meta classes, then yeah, you could have somebody die at the beginning and they seven people would be able to do it instead of eight. But you'll find like when you're learning the fights, if somebody dies, you just reset because like the damage windows are tight enough that you really do kind of need everybody alive. If somebody dies at the very end of the encounter, usually you can squeeze through, but no, it's kind of the same thing where if somebody dies, you just reset and start over because it's so tight of a fight.
But that's the fun of it, right? Difficult fights are just the most fun part of any game.
It's the most fun part of the game. And I think, like I said, I really like that you're forced to do all the mechanics. And it really kind of bothers me, actually, that in the raids that you can use the sidereals and the time stop potions to skip mechanics. I just never really was a huge fan of that. I understand why everybody does it. It's, you know, because you're pugging groups and people have six characters that they're running these raids on. And you don't want to just be bogged down with one person screwing up a mechanic and setting the whole raid back. It's like, I get that. But there's something about doing everything as it's intended and pushing things to the limits and requiring some perfection on a fight and learning the fight, the ins and the outs, that you know every single thing that happens, and going for those deathless runs, man. Like, I mean, when we cleared it was nerd screams, man. I mean, people were going crazy in voice comms. Like, it brought me back all the way to some of those super old, like, Naxxramas clears in World of Warcraft, you know, almost 20 years ago now when I was playing it back then. Like, you know, you have everybody together. Everybody's super, super focused. You spend all night with 40 people progressing on a boss. You finally kill it. I mean, it's so, so exciting. And it's that same kind of a thrill when you get the Hell mode bosses down. Or I should say Inferno mode bosses down.
Did you do it with a static or did you do it with random pugs? I'm curious.
So another interesting byproduct of doing hell mode pugging, or sorry, I should say again, Inferno mode doing pickup groups, is that there's a really cool community. There's a Discord called Hell Academy that I believe the streamer Saint Tone put together kind of in preparation for NA doing hell mode. And you'll find that you sort of start to meet a lot of the same people that are kind of progressing through the raid at the same pace that you are. And then once you go for the Deathless title, there's a whole bunch of people that have kind of progressed through at the same rate, and then they're learning Deathless as well. And Deathless, again, requires execution to be just perfect. So really nobody gets accepted into those Deathless attempts until they have the title from clearing Inferno mode initially. So you really start to kind of like see the same faces, get to know people. So it's sort of, I mean, it's a pickup group, but you really are playing with people that you kind of know and have learned the fights with along the way. So that's kind of a fun thing. I'd recommend that Discord to anybody who's going to attempt Inferno mode. Definitely check it out. It's called Hell Academy. It's got like 70 different voice channels for people who can, whenever you throw a group together, you just hop into a room, you have voice comms. Highly, highly recommend. It's definitely like the best resource. Oh, there's a guide to doing Vaultin Inferno. It's a huge like 70-page guide detailing all the things that are like really specific to that fight. Also, there is a build generator because, again, you're using the Book of Coordination, so you set up the build exactly. And you can switch between different specs, and it's free. And it's one of the coolest things about Hell Mode is that, again, as a demonic, I can either run Demonic Impulse, or if I want to run Perfect Suppression, I can switch back and forth between or tweak the builds and add different engravings and subtract engravings. Doesn't cost any money to do so. You don't have to re-gear. You don't have to re-roll, you know, ability stones, nothing like that. You can kind of manipulate things on the fly to kind of like find what's most comfortable and most efficient. Really, really cool. Again, highly, highly recommend Inferno mode if you haven't tried it yet. Okay, all that said, let's get into some of the patch notes here and start talking about what we've recently been playing. So yeah, the first thing, we just had the September patch last week. I took the day off work on Wednesday because I wanted to hop in and try the new Kakul Sadon raid, also known as the Clown raid. And I want to get your thoughts on it right away. What have been your impressions, your progress, your thoughts, pluses and minuses, everything about the new raid? Where are you at in it, and how do you feel about it?
So I'm on the third gate still. The reason I probably could have cleared it by pugging it, but I apparently joined our guild raid for it. And some of them aren't the greatest players, so it's been rough because, you know, one person wipes, it just starts, you just die.
Yeah,
you can't really clear it, so it's been kind of rough, but It's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of button prugging. The Mario mechanics are hilarious.
Okay, so
And I'm glad they.
you guys are on gate 3 then, right?
Yes, we're on gate
Okay,
3.
well, how did gates 1 and gates 2 go for your group?
One was pretty easy. We cleared it in the first couple, like maybe first hour.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't that bad. Gate 2 took a little bit longer
Okay.
because of the Bogana's Pizza.
Oh,
It
yeah.
just there's a lot of screen clutter when the stars come out, so we kept failing
Yep.
it. But the very first time we cleared that, we cleared the fight.
I think mine was the exact same. I think the first
Yeah.
time that we got through the Velganos pizza thing at the end, we cleared the fight as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you guys do the maze mechanic? Did you use
was
voice comms,
we
or
have
did you do a lot of people are cheesing it with sharing their screen on Discord so that people can just look over and see where
Yep,
all of the
that's pretty much what we did. I was in the center, so I just streamed my thing on my screen in Discord. Everyone just looked, and I kind of directed them,
That
but
is
they kind of
so
knew where to
funny.
go.
It is
It's
like,
it was really easy that way. It was
it's
really
so
easy.
cheesy. Okay, so I'll admit, so I pugged as well on that first day. We got through gate one. It took us about an hour or so. Again, it really didn't take too many pulls. The only mechanic that screwed people up were the cards where you have to set up three people below the boss, and one
And then
person has to
the
like
little
run
cart
the cards
ticket.
into the individual
Yeah,
person. That was the
that was
thing
our.
that was kind of the only thing that gave us any trouble, but once we did that, we cleared it without too much trouble. And then gate two was actually kind of a nightmare for me because we didn't do any screen sharing when I first was trying it. And I eventually had to break to go like eat food or walk the dog or something. I can't remember what it was, but when I came back, I got another group and they were like, "Hey,
In Discord.
let's just screen share." And I was like, "Oh, why hadn't I thought of that? Yeah, I guess that's totally going to cheese this mechanic." And then sure enough, we just absolutely flew through gate two once somebody was sharing their screen. But I got to tell you, if you are not sharing your screen,
It's
that
rough.
is, it is one of the most miserable mechanics I've ever been a part of in an online game. It is so difficult to communicate to people via like pinging and typing and having people switch out on the binoculars and stuff to try and figure that mechanic out. Absolute nightmare without using a screen share. So, yeah, it totally trivializes the mechanic, but with how frustrating that mechanic was, I'm kind of okay with it. Okay, and then so
And
those were
then
the
gate
first
three,
two
go
gates, and then yeah, gate three, go for it. Tell me about gate three so far.
ahead. Gate three is rough because I guess we did our some of my party members didn't know you can actually practice the Mario gates in Trixion.
Yes, very important for anybody
So
who's
there's a
watching
lot of
this.
death during the second Mario because second so it was very rough. So one person
Yeah.
died, we can't really do it. We've gotten to Showtime a couple times, which is fine, I guess. I know how to do the Showtime from watching Zeal stream, so that
Sure.
wasn't too bad.
Sure.
But every time someone just died, so it doesn't really we didn't really get to pass it. But so they have since practiced it, so we're gonna try to clear it tonight.
Okay, cool. Yeah, a couple things. If you're watching this and you haven't yet tried the new Kakul Sadon raid, you're maybe not 1475 gear score, or you're just a little intimidated by it. Just know, yeah, you can go to Trixion and try the four what they call Mario stages. They're like platform side-scrolling stages. And you can practice those all four of them as many times as you like till you've got it absolutely locked down and you won't make any mistakes during the raid. And man, that takes a ton of the pressure off being able to practice all of those things beforehand and feel really comfortable with them. I have seen a video of Inferno Mode Clown, and all four of them are significantly harder. So we have that to look forward to at some point later. Yeah. So my Gate 3 experience was the first day we tried it for like probably 4 to 6 hours. I tried in a couple different
Dang.
groups, and I was with people who had like, Demon's Roar titles and stuff like that. I mean, these were like experienced raiders, and people were really struggling with the raid. A couple things that we sort of realized were the trouble points are the most annoying mechanic in the fight, I think, is actually the health swap mechanic. So, when you're doing the fight, sometimes you will see a red circle underneath your
First.
character. It's like a little grid, like it almost
Little
looks like a
circle.
pentagram type symbol thing under your feet, and you have a debuff on you, and the debuff lasts, I think it's 12 seconds, it's maybe 10 seconds. And while the debuff is active, the goal is for you to lower your health as low as possible without dying, because when the debuff ends, your health swaps. So if you have 100% health, you instantly die. If you have 1% health, you swap up to 99% health. And we found when I was doing the encounter that that's actually what caused most of our troubles when we'd be into the fight a good ways, and there's so much stuff happening on the screen. There's so much to keep track of in the fight, and then someone would get that and not be aware that they had that, and they would just lose all of their health and then die to the next mechanic. That's really difficult too. If you're about to do your side-scrolling, your Mario stage, and you have that happen to you, and your life swaps to where you have, like, if you have your life really high, and then right before you go into the Mario mechanic, you had that red circle underneath, and your health swaps to really low, then you go into your Mario stage, and you have no health, and you can't make any mistakes, and so someone gets hit by one thing, and then it's a wipe, start over. The toughest part that I thought about that fight was kind of managing your health and make sure you have enough health going into your Mario stage, and then also managing your gauge so that it's ready to go to get into the Mario stage, because you have to fill your gauge to get transformed into a clown in order to enter the stage. And there's not that long of a window for you to have somebody hop in there. Otherwise you just wipe. So lots of times people will be managing their gauge and then they'll get hit by something, turn into a clown too early, or they'll miss it, get hit by a mechanic, go in too late, go in with too low of health. I mean, there's a whole bunch of things that can go wrong there.
Sometimes then, the clown goes against the wall because it's dumb.
Hey man, sometimes like he doesn't spawn the two totems in time and you can't get enough gauge. Sometimes the mini boss that shoots the flame out that gives you gauge is at a bad spot in the map, or a DPS. I know a couple of times I used an awakening, and then right as I used the awakening, that sub boss jumped right in front of my range and I just instantly killed it and you can't go in. I mean, there's a whole lot of things that can go wrong. There are a whole lot of mechanics happening simultaneously. As you said before, it's not like Vulton or Vicus, where if one person dies, you have seven people that can kind of carry you to the end. In this case, you only have four people, and if one person dies, a lot of the time you can't get to the end with three people, especially because there's four Mario phases, and each person in the raid has to do one of the four of them, and they get significantly harder. I mean, the first one is almost a gimme, and the fourth one is, whew, three and four are...
Definitely harder than four. Three is a lot harder than four.
Three is the hardest, but three and four are, I mean, they can be a mess. I mean, people, whew, there's a lot going on. And then
I'm doing the third gate. That's my responsibility. So I kept practicing and tricksing until I did it no hits like four times in a row.
Yeah.
But it took a while.
Good, good. And then on top of that, there's also the coffin thing where one person gets entrapped and two people have to run across the stage and free them. And again, the first one isn't too bad with just the axes, but by three and four, you have hooks going on, you have axes going on, and then you have to pull a lever and do a quick time event to type and then do your stagger checks. And there are so many things happening in this fight. It's just crazy. And then, like you said, I don't think you've gotten there yet. Once you clear the fight, you think you're just, all right, we did it. We got all the way through the fight. We cleared it. And then there's a whole nother phase at the end, and it's not a short phase. Like Vicus is like, just get a stagger bar and you're done, and you can use Way to get through it. And Vulton, the ghost phase, is kind of a simpler version of the fight, cause he doesn't move around at all. And you just have to hit your counters. But in this, it's like, there's a whole huge mini game thing at the end where you have to like be dropping bombs in certain places, and you have to be looking at this board, and you have to make sure not to get hit by hammers and not get hit by Medusa stairs. And like, it took us a couple tries. Once we actually got to the bingo phase, it took us a couple tries to actually get through it. So there's a lot happening in this thing.
It's a fun raid. I have really enjoyed the difficulty, even though I feel it's very punishing, but I enjoy it.
Yeah, I definitely think that the third gate in the clown raid, in the Kakul Sadon raid, I think it's definitely the hardest thing so far. As far as non-hell mode goes, or even maybe hell mode. I mean, I think it's probably more difficult than the first gate of Inferno mode for Vulton's raid. I think Vulton himself, gate two, is probably the most difficult thing. But this is close, man. This is, you have to really, really be on your game, and you can't really make any mistakes. And you're not going to get carried again. Like we said, if you die, the rest of the raid, there's not seven other people that can just carry you to the finish line. I definitely like it. And clearing it made me really not excited about the fact that I'm going to be doing this every single week.
Maybe on more than one character if you're that type of person.
Yeah, I can understand now why the Korean players, like so many of them, keep their rosters, they keep their alts at 1472.5 specifically so that they can still get gold from Argos and don't have to do the clown raid every single week. So I get it. I understand now. I think it's good, though. I think it's a fun raid. I think Gate 3 is really fun. Can't wait to do Inferno mode. I know I've seen a couple videos on it. It is wild. There's some new attacks. The Mario stages are more difficult. The bingo has an added element in it. I mean, it's wild. It looks really cool. Okay, so that's the clown raid. The next thing that we are going to talk about is the new class, Machinist, formerly known in the Korean version as, and I think Russian version, as Scouter. So a lot of people refer to it as Scouter, but the English version is called Machinist. That's the official name. And what do you think? Have you given Machinist a try at all?
I have not, actually. My friend Mushin did it, and I've watched him play. It seems fine. I know you have an alt that has it. Named Delita. So how do you tell me how it is? I haven't tried it.
Then.
From my initial impressions, it doesn't do much damage. That's so, my initial impressions. But okay. It's pretty fun. It looks pretty fun.
So
those grenades that drop are kind of scary because I always think it's a mechanic. I'm like, oh, yeah, wait. Right. Oh.
So I did make, I made a Machinist. I deleted my Glavier that I had used from like the previous event. I didn't find Glavier to be particularly fun. We talked about that either last or the podcast before that. So I decided to make a Machinist, and I decided if I didn't like Machinist, I was going to try either Reaper or Summoner or whatever down the road. But I do like the class, but there are a few things that are really weird. It is clunky. If you are not in the, what's it called? Hypersync, I think is what it's called. The Hypersync mode, which is basically like the Iron Man mode. If you are not in that, there are some things where you're controlling the little like scouter probe to do some attacks. And like your character just stands there and like is like looking at his wrist. And like you seem super vulnerable to attacks. And you're kind of slow and building up that gauge. I mean, once I get like max specialization,
tripods,
I'm sure it'll be way better in tripods and things like that. But so far it feels a little bit clunky. I also am not crazy about the fact that once I transform, I actually think the cooldowns are like too fast. That might be because, again, I have more swiftness than I should because my gear isn't optimized yet. But it feels like I'm kind of like spamming buttons, like really spamming buttons. I mean, if you think you spam buttons in Shadow Hunter when you're transformed, like it's not even close. Like this is like your cooldowns are like 1 second on your abilities and you're just like typing on your screen. You're going so fast. And as a result, like you said, you don't have any like really meaty, heavy, big attacks that do like a ton of damage. And it is a little weird coming from, you know, one of my alts is like Surge Deathblade and like you're hitting, you know, you stack up the surge stacks and you're like, boom, here's like the mega huge damage. And this class doesn't really have that. And I can see why people might not be crazy about the class just because it doesn't have those big numbers. And then the other thing is you're spamming a lot of skills and the UI is very distracting when you are transformed. And my understanding is you can't turn that off, which I actually really don't like. I really wish I could turn that off. And that being clunky and then me not having my gear optimized, it's not like I'm ready to throw away the class immediately. However, it's not, I'm not loving it as much as I thought I was going to, in kind of the same way I felt about Glavier. I thought I was going to love Glavier and I kind of was like, eh. I'm kind of feeling the same way about this class, to the point where I might actually give up this class when Reaper comes out, which is not too far away as we'll get to. But I'm willing to tough it out a little bit, gear up this class a little bit, see how the playstyle changes when I sort of optimize, basically when I get max specialization instead of having like swiftness and crit instead. So once I get specialization, I kind of want to see how the class feels. But the trouble is getting like an optimal build right now is insanely expensive, which, you know, we'll get to the economy a little bit later here, but like I don't even feel like I can really try out the class how I want to try out the class because I can't get optimized gear without spending literally over like 100,000 gold just to get like a 4x3 engraving. So that's a little weird too, because it's like I want to try out the class kind of how it's meant to be tried out, but it'll cost a lot of gold even to just do that. So I don't know. It's kind of a weird spot right now. Overall, though, I like the class. I mean, I think it's fun, but it's not going to like be my new main or anything like that.
Yeah, we'll talk about the fans.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Okay, then the next thing that was on the patch notes, and I'm curious as to where you're at on this too, is they did give us another power pass, and they gave us this Hyper Express event to get a character to 1415, plus the honing changes that were previously to 1370 are now up to 1415. So go ahead, Kilma, tell me, what did you do kind of with that power pass and with those honing changes?
Because it was unexpected, I know a lot of people were upset that they gave us. It's so weird. So people were upset because they had bought it during the sale, the power pass during the sale just had. So people were because they told us we weren't getting one. They highly suggested we weren't getting one.
Right.
So people bought the power pass from the store during the sale. And then once they get for free, people are like, but they told us we weren't getting it. It's just a weird thing to be mad about. But
yeah, I will say that the power pass, the item itself in the game does have an expiration date. But once you use the pass, the power pass itself does not have an expiration date. So you just need to use the ticket in your inventory, and then you can use the power pass whenever. So if you were upset that you bought a power pass previously, just use this one. And then when a future class comes out or another class that you want to try comes out, you can still use that at a later time.
Yeah. So I actually followed your advice. I saw that Machinist wasn't that fun or great.
Uh-huh.
So I actually followed your advice and I started a Shadow Hunter, which I'm loving. I even got her to, I got her to 1430.
Cool.
And I got her 4x3, which took a lot of money.
Which engravings did you go?
Just the usual DPS ones. I went the Demonic Impulse, of course.
Demonic, okay.
Grudge, Crystal, and so I want to get her to 5-3, but it's just gonna cost too much money. So I'm working on 4-3 right now. I'm happy with it for now. Cool. I enjoy the place out. It's super fun, and I'm really enjoying it. So that's what I use my power force for.
Nice.
And I got, and it was so easy to get her to 1415 because of the buffs and the express event.
Right.
The buffs are godsend. I pretty much got almost every character I wanted to 1415 and more.
The Hyper Express event. Were you able to complete the whole thing on the first week?
Yes. Looks like still the first week technically.
I don't know how that's possible because I can't.
What are you not doing?
I think Areha, you had to do the second step.
You're right. I haven't done the normal.
And then
you do hard normal and hard, so you can't.
So I did the normal one, and then I can't finish the 1415, the third stage, because I have to wait till next week to do it. And I was like, oh, that seems like a
what I did is I skipped the second phase.
Gotcha.
The second, because I went from like 1302 to like 1400 right away.
Okay.
So I didn't want to do the second stage. And the rewards are fine, but not as good as the last stage.
Yeah,
so.
I know. You can kind of skip the first two and just get the third to get that legendary card. So yeah, but yeah. Okay, cool. And then you said you got other classes up to 1415.
I got my Sork to 1415. Yeah. I also got my
Do you play Igniter or Reflux on that Sork?
Reflux, which...
Oh, really?
I think I prefer... I think I might switch to Ignite. I feel like Reflux doesn't do much damage.
I mean, Sork does so much damage.
It does. But we'll see. It just costs too much fans to switch right now, so that's why I'm not doing it.
Fair enough.
Until I get more gold or something happens with that, but yeah. I love Gunlancer, but my Gunlancer's like... trash engravings and trash relics or equipment. So I want to get him to high up, but I just can't justify spending that much gold on it.
Yeah, it makes sense. Now. And it's something, again, I really want to touch on kind of have it later in the podcast, but the economy right now, it's super frustrating because you really, in order to try out a class and like get a feel for the class, you really need some decent engravings, and getting good engravings right now is so crazy expensive because of kind of the state of the game, the state of the economy. That, yeah, I mean, I totally understand that frustration, but we'll kind of get to that a little bit. But,
how about you? I know you already pretty much had everyone up.
Yeah,
high.
My whole roster, I have my Shadow Hunter is like crazy, insane high gear score, like Brelshaw's already and all that stuff. And then the rest of my roster, like my other five characters, four of them have been sitting at 1445 for like a few weeks now, just trying to get their relic sets. And then I have no desire really to push them further, because I don't want to do clown on any more characters. And once you can get your relic set, I don't really feel like there's a need to push much higher than 1445. I don't even need to push to 1460 realistically. I can
just Vicus hard mode.
I can do Vicus normal and slowly build up the materials I need for those relic sets. So I'm having fun just kind of doing Descaluda. 1445 is also the second stage of the Chaos Dungeon. So that's really like, I feel kind of the sweet spot for camping alts. So I have four of them sitting there. And then, like I said, yeah, I tried the new Machinist. I only have them at 1400 because I wasn't able to line up all the events correctly, I guess, to get to 1415. Also, I don't even think you can get 1415 the first week, because if you do, the way I did it, because I did Areha normal, so I don't have enough materials from doing Areha hard to get all six gear slots to where I can transfer the gear over at 1370. So I got like stuck. I have four pieces that are at plus 15, and then I can't make the other two until next week. So whatever.
True, but true.
That's fine. It's you know, tomorrow for us, so I'll just get it done tomorrow. But that's kind of where my roster's at right now. So I think the changes are good. I like seeing kind of the fast honing up to 1415, because basically a new player now can hop into the game, basically speed their way to 1415, and then get a chance at the first Legion raid in Vaultin at 1415, which is cool. It's what kind of I think this has been, should have been for a while, to get people into the Legion raids, but we're there now. It's good. I think it's a good change. I like it a lot.
Yep.
Okay. Perfect. Moving on, the next thing for the last thing for the September patch, and since we have a lot to go over, I'll try to go quick here. It's just the Magic Society skins. It's like two different sets. I think they both totally stink. I don't know if you like them.
I mean,
it
it depends on your taste. You know,
yeah,
some people like it.
Some
people
don't. Like
I didn't buy any of them
myself. Yeah. If you like them, I'm super happy for you. I want you to decorate your characters however you want. They did nothing for me. I didn't care. All right, let's move on. Okay. So just yesterday, we got the brand new roadmap for, I was surprised here. I was kind of expecting maybe just October, maybe October and November. But sure enough, we got the roadmap all the way to the end of the year. It's jam-packed full of things. We'll go through them. We'll try to go through them quickly because there's a lot to talk about here. But the first thing in the October month, this month coming next, is the Event Mystic Abyss Raid. I don't really know what that is. I'm assuming it's
either
some sort of event where we will just hop in and absolutely smash some event guardian of some kind, or some raid event thing. It'll be quick. There'll be tons of cool things that we get for clearing, and tons of materials and whatever else, event medals that'll trade in for honing mats and cards and all that kind of good stuff.
Yep.
It'll be fun. I like events. I hope it's a good event. Last couple events have been not super great, so I'm hoping that we have a good event there. Now, the really exciting thing for me specifically is that we have Inferno Vicus coming this month. Oh, baby. That is going to be a wild one. And the reason it's going to be so wild is that if you are going for the deathless clear of Vicus Inferno, you have to pass all three gates, not just two gates, but all three gates without dying. Looks really fun. There's a couple new mechanics in gate one and gate two, I think. But then gate three has quite a few different mechanics. The for example, the puddles at the beginning, instead of just lining up puddles, there's now the whirlwind debuff, like spawns all over the circle. So you have to go to like a specific clock position where there aren't those puddles. So there's like an extra element. She's also got some raid clearing, like spin attacks that you have to be really specific about. And then the other interesting thing is you can't just skip mechanics again because it's Inferno mode. So you actually have to do all of the things like The most common way to get through the mechanic at 105 health bars is you clear your gauge, you run to the middle, the two things spawn on the top and bottom, everybody staggers Vicus and then uses a time stop potion. Well, in Inferno mode, you can't do that. So you're actually gonna have to do the mechanics the way that the fight
It
is
was
originally
intended.
intended for them. Super tight. I guess the DPS requirements are much higher than Inferno Volton. Should be really challenging. I'm really excited. I can't wait to give it a go. I love Inferno mode. I think everybody should try it. Super fun. Do it. All right. The next thing on October is the Akkadis Trial Guardian, and they even refer to this in the patch notes as being like a Inferno mode guardian. I confess, I actually don't know too much about this. What are your thoughts on
Just looking at Chadis makes me
Akkadis?
like, ugh. Especially
Yeah.
if they're gonna make him harder, but
Yeah.
we'll see.
So he
He's
was
one of
my,
the harder raid
I
guardian
was
raids,
gonna
so that
say, he
makes
was like probably
sense.
my least favorite Guardian raid.
Yeah, so we'll see what they do with it. I'm excited. I mean, if
Should be
it's like
fun. I
a
don't know what the
yeah.
rewards are for that either, for
Me
clearing
neither.
it. Yeah.
It just looks like a title.
It
I
does
think
say
it's
you
like
get a
just gonna be a
title. Yeah. I'm wondering if you get anything else for it, if it's literally just a title. I mean, even if it's just a title, I love that there's new stuff in the game. I'll try it out, of course. But I'm hoping that there's something else too that you get for it. But hey man, any kind of new like raid or something, I'm all for. So I'm all about it. All right, the other things in the October roadmap that they listed were the second season of Arc Pass, which is great. The
Yep,
first Arc
excited
Pass
for that.
gave a crazy amount of free stuff, so that'll be super exciting. The continuation of the September progression events. So I think they're talking about the Event Guardian, or
Oh
the
yeah,
no,
that
no, they're probably talking about the 14-15 Express event thing,
I don't
maybe.
know about
I don't know.
that.
But they did mention it there, so thought I'd
Okay.
bring it up. The second season of PvP, which I know the PvPers are really excited about, even though I've found that I don't really care for PvP in Lost Ark. I know some people are crazy about it, and man, I love that people are crazy about it. I love that it's in the game. I love that the PvP is done so well. It's just not really my thing I found in this game. And then the last thing is there we get some Halloween skins. We get Nerea's shop that's gonna have like a Halloween wardrobe or something like that. The skins look really cool. Yeah, I'm all about it. I like the festive stuff. I like the Halloween content. I think it's great.
The skins look fine. I like some parts of it. I'll probably get a few, one or two pieces, but yeah,
Hey man, the
looks
more
fine.
skins, the better. Even if I don't like them, I'm always just like, yep, I'm all about it. More skins always.
Sure. Some of the weapons look awesome, though.
Yeah.
That's what I'm excited
Yeah, that's
about.
true. Some of the weapons do look cool. All right. And then November comes along, and November
This is a
has.
juicy one.
Yeah, November's a good one. The first thing coming in November is Reaper, the third assassin class that's going to be coming out. Reaper is the, I believe, the squishiest class in the game. It has like the lowest survivability of any class in the game, but does a ton of damage. It focuses on like flipping all around the screen and doing back attacks and stuff like that. It looks pretty fun. Are you going to try out Reaper?
I will try it out. I will also delete my Glavier. That class is just not for me.
Yeah, same.
I don't know what it is about Glavier that I don't like, but I want to try Reaper. Depending on how that goes, I am debating between if I want to try Reaper or save for Summoner. Save my master Summoner or not, because Summoner looks fun. I'm not gonna lie, I like Summoner.
Yeah.
I just want to try something new, but we'll see. I'll try. I'll give it a try, and if I don't like it, I'll just replace it with the Summoner.
Yeah, in the same way that a lot of people were waiting for Glavier to kind of make it their main class when Lost Ark first came out, I know a ton of people have also been waiting for Reaper to come out. So I'm really excited. I was really excited to see on the roadmap here that we have not one, but two classes coming out before the end of the year. I think it's great. I love that Reaper is coming. I know a ton of people are excited about it. I think it's fantastic that people are getting to like get their main into the game. Super cool. I think it looks like a cool class. If I had the character slot in my roster, I might try it out. Maybe I'll even delete that machinist if I don't like it very much. But I think it's cool. It's exciting. I love that Reaper's coming.
Yeah,
Right. The
looks
next
fun.
thing. Sorry, go ahead.
I said looks fun, yeah.
Looks fun. All right. The next thing coming is kind of a big change here. The tripod system revamp is coming. And, I confess I'm not super familiar with exactly how the tripod system works after the revamp, but I do know this. I do know that tripods that you have, let me think of the best way to explain this. The inventory transfer system, I think that's what it's called. There's an NPC that has the pages where you can save an item's tripods and then transfer them to gear. If you have tripods on that page, then you automatically get them when the change happens. So it's highly recommended from the Korean player base that if you're doing, let's say you have all of your gear set up and then you are doing Chaos Dungeons and you happen to get a piece of gear that drops for a tripod that you really want that has that level 4 engraving or that level 4 tripod, sorry, and transferring it over to your existing gear, you only have a 5% chance, or you can use the stone and make it 10% chance to have that tripod transfer over successfully. However, if you take that piece of gear and you imprint it into your inventory book, even though it's not transferred onto your piece of gear as it is now, you will get that tripod at that level when this system happens. So it's recommended on all of your characters to get those high-level tripods for the things that you really care about and paste them into that tripod book, because you'll get them for free. That's really all I know about this new system. It's supposed to make it easier overall to get your tripod levels.
Because you don't have to worry about having specific ones on gear to use. Right. It just applies to the whole account. Your gear will no longer have tripods on it. So that's
Right. I think they go into like a book now or something. Yes, they have like a tripod book. Okay.
Yes. So it no longer appears on your gear. So you don't have to mix and match, pick the best ones, switch them up for chaos and raids. Okay. It's great.
Yeah. I know the Korean player base. Basically, this is like a universal plus. Everybody said this is definitely a good change moving forward. So it's going to be good that we're getting that. And yeah, take this opportunity to get those iPods and paste them into your books to make sure you get those free iPod tripod levels. All right, the next thing that's coming is the balance patch. So this balance patch came out in Korea, I think about a month, maybe 2 months ago. I think it was actually August. So I think it was the August balance patch that Korea got. We will be getting over here. They are revamping, I think it's like 7 or 8 classes. A couple classes are getting significant changes. I know Summoner is one of those classes, which we will be getting later, which is, I think, why they pushed it back to December, by the way, but we'll get there. But that's one of the classes that gets major changes. There's some balancing that goes back, but I do know one thing, and that is Artillerist mains out there, rejoice. Your class is now God tier. Artillerist becomes the strongest class in the game by actually quite a large margin, from my understanding. So everybody who's got those Artillerists as their alts or anything like that, like, get ready, because it's coming.
Yep, it looks like, from what I'm reading, 10 classes get a buff. Some classes get a tiny buff, but some people, like I said, you said, a lot of people, some people get a really, really big buff.
Yeah, I do believe the other thing that came in that patch also was there were a couple skill animation changes.
Yes, for Demon Hunter, and so, Demon Hunter change looks different too, right?
Yeah, that's the Demon Hunter no longer looks like the cockroach, like everybody says, but it'll actually be like a woman character now with white hair when you go into demon mode, so you will look different. I confess, I was really hoping that they would keep your existing character model as you designed it, but just give some additional effects to signify that you were in demon mode, so that they would also retain your weapon glow from upgrading your weapon while you're in demon form, but they didn't do that. Still an improvement from the original demon mode, I think, or demonic mode, or whatever it's called. Still an improvement. I'm looking forward to it, but I'll be honest, even as a demon hunter or a shadow hunter main, I'm still kind of like, ah, cool. I mean, they're making a change, I guess, but I'm not like crazy about it. But as far as the balance changes go, like I said, though, Artillerist is really the winner on this one. And then there's, like you said, I think 10 classes that are getting some changes, some rebalancing. So that's good. All right. And then the last thing in the November patch that's coming out is going to be Stronghold changes. Now, these are pretty extensive. I don't know a lot about these, but
me neither.
I believe that this makes it so that you can design the inside of your keep in your Stronghold. So previously in the Stronghold, like, the keep is there and there's like a fence guarding the whole thing. And there's that one NPC who welcomes you every time you go to the Stronghold that sits right out front. And now you'll be able to go into and decorate the inside of that keep, which is pretty cool. There's a whole bunch of other changes that happen with this update. Again, I don't really know exactly what they are. They listed them in the patch notes there. Trophy system and trophy room, gifting, mounts and pet placement, structure placement upgrades, additional jukebox music, HUD improvements, and additional mini games. Sounds great. Cool. I love it. The current stronghold is not terrible, but I'm down for them to add a bunch of stuff to this. I saw also one of the changes they made recently is they added like medals to your stronghold for like inviting players and decorating your stronghold and stuff. I love stuff like that. It's like the MMO-ish stuff that makes the game like more MMO-ish. I'm all about it, man. Like I like the inviting people into your stronghold and like hanging out there and decorating it and stuff. I think it's great.
Yeah. So I wish they would do more with strongholds, but it's fine so far. If any improvements, always welcome.
Right,
and
that's
if it
my feeling
helps.
too. Have you decorated your stronghold a bunch?
Not even a little bit.
Really?
I've been to some really cool ones though.
I've been to some really cool strongholds.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I mean, if more people stuff to do is fine. I am excited for it, like I said, but until I get like into it more, it's not a big deal for
I
me.
confess, I'm
But I
surprised.
know.
I assumed that you would be a absolute decorate your stronghold guy.
No, I don't even have a house in Final Fantasy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I know getting a house in Final Fantasy is like next to
Yeah.
impossible anyway, but all right, so that concludes the November patch, and then the big one, the December patch, the juicer.
The
The
juicer.
first big change is Summoner. So that's going to be
Yeah.
the last like original class from Lost Ark to be added into the global version here before we get the new race. I can't remember what it's specialist, I think is what it's called. That is going to have the artist and the aromancer. Those will be coming next year. But the end, we conclude this year with all of the remaining classes from basically the base game, the first being Summoner. What are your thoughts?
I'm excited. It looks fun to play. It's a mage class, I believe, right?
Right.
So I know it got a really big buff and then it got nerfed, but still, I think it's still pretty strong. But so
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. Excited for the playstyle. It's something different, plays differently from everything other classes, so I'm
Yeah,
excited for
it.
that.
It does. So the summoner was the original mage class in the game. Sorceress actually came later in Korea, and not by a
Oh.
little bit, like way later, like a couple years later. But summoner was the original mage class. It is not a bursty class like sorceress is. It's more of like a consistent damage. I actually think it looks pretty cool. I was not really super excited about summoner until actually this August. Bounce patch in Korea where they modified like a whole bunch of stuff and like the way the class plays, and I actually think it looks kind of cool now. Again, it's another class that I know people have been looking forward to for a very long time, especially because when the beta for Global Lost Ark came out, Summoner was actually playable in that beta, and then when the release came around, they switched Summoner out for Sorceress. So I know a lot of people have been like really anticipating Summoner kind of since the launch of the game. So again, I'm super excited that those people get to try out their main. I think the class looks interesting. Apparently it's an absolute disaster to play against summoners in PvP. So everybody, you have that to look forward to. I've heard it's the most annoying class in the game to play against. So they will be wrecking havoc in season 2 of PvP. But pretty exciting. Summoner class is coming. I'm really happy for everybody that's been looking forward to it. All right. And then the big announcement, I think, of the patch notes is that we will have the next Legion raid coming in December, sooner than a lot of people thought. It's exactly when I had anticipated from the beginning. I thought there would be a big winter patch that would include Brelshazzar. And sure enough, she is arriving in December. Now, Brelshazzar is six different gates or phases, and it is broken into three sections, similar to how Argos is, where there are different gear scores for each of the raids. The first two gates require 1490 gear score, the second two require 1500 gear score, and the third two require 1520. 1520 being plus 22 gear all the way across the board. And let me tell you, when you hit 1505, the upgrades get nightmarish to go from 1505 to 1520. So the recommendation is not to go all the way to 1520 with the current gear, but to get Brelshazzar gear that will drop or materials, and you will transfer your existing gear the same way that we did with Argos and Areha gear, where we would turn that purple gear into orange gear. That went from like plus 15 down to plus 6 or like whatever that conversion was. Yep. We're going to be doing that again with Brawlshaw's gear. So you will get a gear transfer over where you're like plus 15 gear, plus 16 gear will turn into like plus 10 gear. So those upgrades will come a little bit easier. And that's how you're going to want to push your gear score basically above 1500. Now, if you, like myself, want to try and do all of Brawlshaw's that first week, you are going to need 1520 gear score, and you will only be able to get one piece of gear upgraded that first week, which means you will need to have approximately 1510 or 1512.5 gear score so that when you get the one piece upgraded, you'll be able to upgrade that gear higher and get up to 1520 gear score that first week. Whew! That was a lot there, but
that was a lot. Yeah,
6 gates of Brawlshaw's raid coming. This is like the raid that got people excited about Lost Ark before it released. I'm one of those people that saw Sane Tone's original video. I think it's got like a crazy amount of views on YouTube. It's like something like, this is how hard Lost Ark raiding gets. And he's showcasing, I think it's the final phase of Brawlshaw's where she has like 50 different attacks and there's like AoEs, bullet hell going all over the place, and people are, it looks wild, it looks awesome. I'm super, super excited about this raid. I can't wait to try and do the whole thing the first week. What are your thoughts on Brawlshaw's?
I am super excited. Oh, fights look visually fun. They really went all out on these raids. Everything looks so cool. There's mechanics that are unlike anything you've done before.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited. The requirements for it's going to be pretty high, and I forgot it was just normal, but it's still going to be super fun. Not a lot of people are going to get to do 5 and 6 the first week, so which is fine. It's just not that big a deal, but it's going to be, you need to be really committed to your character to do it. And December is perfect time. It's 2 months away. You don't know, probably end of December is my guess.
Yeah, I think so.
So you have about 2.5 months to get everything, all your main class up there. Excited.
I think the best thing that they did, and something I was worried that they wouldn't do, is not give people enough time to know that 1520 gear score is coming at some point. But I'm really glad that they did it this way. They released the roadmap now. They, like you just said, they said, here's 2.5 months to prepare for this crazy, crazy gear score that's coming. If you want to try and do the whole thing on week one, you know, you have plenty of time. You're totally aware way, way far out that that's where you'll need to push to. Again, I've known that 1520 was going to be the requirement. So I specifically pushed my main up higher than I think most people have, because I want to be ready for that on week one. But I'm glad that everybody's getting that notice that they'll need that crazy gear score in order to see it all. Okay. Yeah. Super exciting. Super excited for that raid. Can't wait for it. Also of note, with Brawlshaw's and with the new Caligulos Guardian raid, with the new Chaos new Dungeons, Tier 3 Cubes, Tier 3 new Boss Rush, Bracelets, there are also new materials, which means there will be kind of like a soft gear reset. It'll be like going from the Honor Leap Stones to the Greater Honor Leap Stones. You'll need a new material to hone your gear. So it's kind of like a soft reset. A lot of people are going to be trying to make a ton of money because there's a new tier of gear called Ancient Gear. It's the next step after Relic Gear. It's white gear. You'll be able to get +6 on your engravings on a single accessory instead of +5 as the existing gear does. So people will be clamoring for the new gear. People will be super excited about trying to get more than 5x3 engravings. I know that you can actually, if you have a 9/7 ability stone, you can actually get 5/3 engravings and 1 level 2 engraving. So you can actually get, what is that total? 17 engraving slots if you absolutely maximize your gear. It's going to be wild. It's going to be just an absolute pandemonium with a new set of gear and a new thing happening in December. I can't wait for it. It's going to be super exciting.
I'm excited for bracelets. I have a general idea what they're doing. I know it's a lot of, it's a gold sync kind of a thing,
It's
but
like the
still something
ultimate,
new.
it's like the ultimate biggest RNG thing in Lost
Oh.
Ark, because you roll a bracelet and you can re-roll one of the stats. Sorry, you get like, I
Yeah.
think it's like six stats randomly assigned, and you can re-roll one of them. So you have to hope that you like land a bracelet with decent, with like decent rolls, and then the individual rolls are also in a range. So you have to hope that you like hit the high end of the range. Like it's wild. You can spend infinite gold on bracelets trying to get like the absolute perfect bracelet, but it's basically a gold
Yeah,
sync. It's a gold
it
sync.
is.
I
It is
mean,
basically a gold
that's
thing.
why it's in the game. It's a gold sync.
So yes, there's that. I know the ancient gear uses the same relics as, so you don't actually have to like reroll quality. So that's always a good thing, I believe.
Yeah, so the
So.
quality, if you've been re-rolling your weapon, for example, he's talking about the armor slots here. If you've rolled like a 95 plus or some crazy number, 92, I think you have on your weapon, I hate you. On your weapon, yeah, that quality will get transferred over on the armor slots, so you won't have to re-roll on
That's
those.
not like a complete reset, but it's still like, so it's really
Right.
nice. You don't have to like re so you can spend your Stones of Chaos and rolls without worry
Yes.
at this point in time. So
You don't need to
it's always
save
a good
them.
thing.
All right,
I
the
know we're
last.
getting new hard. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, yeah, I was just gonna say, and then the last thing on those patch notes there are that we will be getting Nerea's wardrobe. So basically, we'll be getting some Christmas
Christmas products? Yeah, probably just
attire. I
Christmas,
think
yeah.
you get like pajamas and stuff. It actually looks kind of fun. And then they said there's gonna be a new Christmas event. So, like you said there too, there's also gonna be an upgraded cube and an upgraded boss rush.
Boss
So you'll
rush.
need new tickets to do those, and they will give those new materials. So that's another thing that's coming down the pipeline. So that is the patch notes that we were given yesterday. 3 full months patch, a roadmap all the way out to the end of the year. It's awesome, and I will take this opportunity to voice my one complaint about the roadmap. That
Sure.
is, there is no wording, no messaging at all about getting us caught up eventually to the Korean client. I still think that needs to happen. I'm really hoping that that gets announced at some point in the next, whatever, 6 months or so. I'm really hoping we'll get to Loa on here in a little bit. But I really hope that that sort of announcement happens and that at some point we get simultaneous releases of all content with the Korean client so that we also can sit there on day one and not know anything about the fights. And I think that's where we need to head. And I hope that that happens at some point.
We'll
All
keep
right.
hoping for it. I don't think it'll happen, but you know, I hope it for it too. So
I'm gonna just inhale that hopium.
I hope you.
All right. So, given that we have this roadmap to the end of the year, I did want to quickly touch on things that aren't in the roadmap that we still don't have in our version of the game. And even if it's just a list, I just wanted to list them, and then we can talk about them if you wanted to go into detail on any more of them. But the things that I am aware of that we don't have yet are: we will not have at the end of this year the Kakul Sadon Inferno, which I'm assuming is going to be basically the next thing after Belshaza. I'm not worried about it at all. We will also be getting the Belshaza hard mode of the raid, which my understanding is it's similar to the Kakul Sadon raid, where you will take your existing gear and you will just upgrade your set effects. Then there's the Elgaisha content, which is going to be the next
A
story
comment.
content. And I don't want to give any spoilers away, so I won't even say anything, but it's going to be, it will conclude the current story. That's a good way of saying it. Then after that, we will be getting the, oh yeah, and there's also like a raid that comes in there, I think. I don't know.
I don't remember, but
I don't
yeah.
know. And then we will be getting the next Legion raid, the Akan raid. You've probably seen some of the major content creators like Sanetone and Zeals and Stoops and ATK and Obenji. They all did that first weekend stream of the Akan raid. It was super awesome to watch, actually. So that'll be the next Legion raid to come after that. And then there will be two classes that we will be getting: the Artist and the Aeromancer. They are a new race. They are the same race as the NPC Shandy. You know that little Yoda-looking
Oh
guy that you've seen in the
yeah.
story.
Yes,
That
yes,
race, we will be getting the specialist, I believe it is called in Korea. That's like the new type, like mage. This will be called the specialist, and the two subclasses that will be coming are artist and aromancer. And so those are the things that are going to be coming probably in the first few months of 2023. Now, with that said, we are also going to be getting the Loa On Fan Festival Conference in Korea some point this winter. This is the annual event where they basically announce the kind of the roadmap in Korea for what's coming in Lost Ark and what we have to look forward to. And I can speculate a little bit on what I think we will probably be getting. We will be hearing announcements of there. And so my guesses are that we will be getting an announcement for Brelshaza Inferno mode. What that's going to look like, I don't know, because I can't imagine trying to do a death list of six gates of Brelshaza, which would be absolutely insane. So we'll see what they do with that, but I'm sure that that's coming at some point. And then the other thing that I'm expecting as far as like raid and story content is that they will be probably announcing the Thaymine raid, which is the final of the Legion Generals. Oh, yeah. So I think that's going to be pretty cool. I'm hoping to see that. And then maybe we'll even get some sort of a hint at, what's his name? Kageros or something like that. Or
Kageros. Yeah.
Yeah. Either him or what's the other story guy that, we meet at the very beginning, Carmine. Maybe we'll get like a Carmine raid or something like that. That'd be pretty cool. And then, they've also announced that the next class will be the female Berserker. So that's going to be pretty cool. I can't wait to see what that looks like. Maybe that will even be a class that I'll be checking out in the future because that sounds super cool. What do you think is going to come in addition to that in Loa On? Do you have any expectations, any announcements?
The last one didn't really do any. They didn't really announce anything, right? It was just recently? I thought the last Loa On was like pretty recent.
I think so they do a Loa On mini in the summer.
Okay.
But then
so that's
the
what that
winter
was.
One
okay.
is like the big one. And the things that they announced last winter were they announced, I believe that the next raid was going to be Akan, and they announced the Aromancer class last year.
Okay, so they do actually know. Okay, yeah. I'm excited for it. We'll see what happens. I like these type of events, community interaction. I'm not sure if it's like a live event this time or not. But... yeah. But yeah, excited. We'll see. Probably new raid, new classes, maybe new continent.
Hey man, I would like to see
new story arc.
Yeah, I think that's possible because my understanding again, I've specifically tried to avoid like any sort of spoilers for myself on the Elgeisha storyline. But my understanding is like. They wanted to the old director wanted to bookend the story in some way before he left. So I'm guessing that the next main story thing for Lost Ark will be kind of a new story altogether. I'd love to see something like that get announced at Loa On as well. That'd be super cool. All right, the last thing that I did want to touch on before we get going here is the current state of the economy. As we've alluded to previously, it's insane. I mean, yes. The blue gem cost right now is something like 3,000. It's totally insane in North America West right now on our data center. And the effects of that are pretty apparent when like a new class comes out. I mean, it is so painful to get enough fions to buy those accessories when, I mean, if you're looking at relic gear, if each piece of relic gear is 25 fions, I think it's something like a 5,000 gold tax for every single accessory that you want to buy. I mean, that's too much, in my opinion. That's an unacceptable amount of gold that's required to try and buy things off the market, or you're forced to spend kind of a lot of real life money in order to just be able to buy accessories for a class. And I think it's problematic. I think it's problematic that ability stones still cost so many fions, especially when it's just total RNG to try and get a good stone. And some people can get one stone and some people can do 30. I don't think it's good. And it's like, what do we do at this point? Do we need Smilegate and Amazon to step in? What changes could they make? What are your thoughts right now on sort of what it looks like?
I don't know. I know they make a lot of money on it, so I don't know if they're going to do anything. Because people buy fans for the crystals because they have to, right? If you want to gear your ults, people have to buy fans. And if you want to gamble on stones, you have to buy fans.
I
And they
just.
don't give as much as you need. They like the supply isn't meeting the demand, so that's why people spend money. And that's why a lot of character people are upset because they can't fully play their class without buying these gears that cost so much money and gambling on stones that cost so much money. So it's hard to keep the players happy with this. So I don't know what they're gonna do.
I agree with you. I think before Lost Ark released in the West, it was very, very common for us to hear from the Korean player base that like this is the game that is free to play friendly. This is the game that doesn't take advantage of its player base. This is a game that is friendly to new players. And the current state of the economy is none of those things. I really feel like it's now going to be the thing that causes players to quit the most, because the current state of the game is like you can't even moderately gear out a character without either grinding, either having an existing roster where you can
Yes.
farm gold on, which a
And
lot of players are
accessories,
in
yeah.
that position, by the way, where it's not as painful because they can farm up a bunch of gold and then gear out the new characters. But if you're coming into the game now, the only ways to gear out your character are to spend like a ton of real life money just to pay the taxes on the items. Like it doesn't feel good. It's not it's like I wish somehow that that tax was actually baked into just the gold cost when you buy an item on the auction house, rather than having it being this like hidden currency behind the scenes where the tax is like obfuscated from the actual marketplace and the transferring of gold between players. I don't like it. It feels kind of scummy to me. It feels kind of greedy to me. Again, I've been playing long enough now that it's not even super, it doesn't affect me a ton because I've geared out my characters to where they're at now, but I just don't see how a new player ever gets 5x3 engravings on their character at this point without spending, I mean, not $10 or $15. I mean,
Oh no.
hundreds or even thousands of dollars to get 5x3 engravings. To me, that's just not a good place for the game to be. It's not a good state of the game to be. I understand that they need to make money, but at some point, there has to be a reasonable place where small spenders can sort of get caught up and feel like they're not just getting run over or being expected to pay so much money to kind of even be able to do the current content in the game.
Yeah, so much we can do about it. Like the amount you get gold per weekly is nowhere near enough to do anything really, especially for new players.
Well,
So
especially when you
it's.
look at the prices of things like gems and books. I mean, I know it's a supply and demand problem, but like, why are class books 10,000 plus gold to get? It's like, I get it. It's supply and demand, but that means increase the supply. Like, why isn't Smilegate and Amazon trying to lower the price of those books by increasing the supply of those books? I mean, a new player can't save up 300,000 gold to get their, demonic impulse engraving so that they can, play their class at a high level. I feel like the expectation is just insane to try and get geared up enough to do things like the Kakul Sadon raid, for example. So I'd
Yeah.
like to see some changes happen.
Same.
I don't know that they will, but I'd like to see them happen. I hope they happen. I think for the overall health of the game, I think to retain the player base that is currently here and to get new players specifically, there something needs to be done to make the economy more friendly to new players specifically and to players that have low roster levels to feel like they can participate in the game and not have to spend an exorbitant amount of money to get caught up.
Yep.
All right, so that's going to do it for all of the things on all of the roadmaps here. Is there anything that we missed that you wanted to chime in here that has to do with Lost Ark?
No, I think we did talked. It was a lot to talk about, and we went through it.
Lot to
If
talk
we'll need
about.
more, we'll talk about more in the future. We're not gonna get anything for a while, I believe. So we have
Yeah, I
some
think
stuff to
so.
keep talking for a while. So we'll just save it for next time if something comes up. good luck on the clowns.
Awesome.
I don't.
You too. You too. All right. Where can people find you here?
I'm on Twitch at twitch.tv/koryu87. I haven't streamed recently. I stream my most recent stream is a War Division pull stream, which I got extremely lucky in, yes, you saw.
Oh yeah, that was ridiculous.
But that was so good. But yeah, that's where you'll find me.
Cool. All right, you can find me over at twitch.tv/CyrusTheGreat99. I haven't been streaming a lot on Twitch lately. I keep saying I'm gonna get back into it, but it's just a matter of doing it. Maybe when Vicus Inferno comes out, actually,
Yeah.
I'll probably stream Vicus Inferno, actually. Actually, I definitely will stream Vicus Inferno. And then you can catch the podcast over there on YouTube at Cyrus the Great, or you can type in Lost Arguments into YouTube and it'll pop up there. Don't forget, if you're watching this on YouTube, that the podcast is available on Spotify and everywhere podcasts are available, so you can check us out there. And also, if you're listening or watching over there on Spotify and you really like YouTube, feel free to hop over to YouTube and check us out there as well. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. Thank you so much for watching and listening.
Thanks
All
for
right,
watching. Have a
guys.
good one. Good luck on all your raids.
Yeah, absolutely. See you in the next one. Go try out Hell Mode.
See you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.